It's another edition of To Your Health, the podcast series from Cayuga Medical Center.
Many people struggle with shortness of breath during exercise and are often given a diagnosis of asthma. But is that the real cause? Joining me right now is Dr. Andrew Getson, Clinical Director of Sports Medicine at Cayuga Medical Center and Director of Cayuga Medical Center's Shortness of Breath with Exercise Clinic. Dr. Getson, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking with you. So, Dr. Getson, how big of an issue is this? Is shortness of breath with exercise common?
Well, we do have a clinic specifically designed to evaluate these people, and we wouldn't have that if it wasn't common. About 50% of athletes suffer from some sort of breathlessness with exercise. And the real challenge is these people often don't get an accurate diagnosis, and they wound up seeing multiple physicians and never really figuring out the cause, and consequently really can't get it better.
So when people are referred to your clinic, they usually come with a diagnosis of asthma. Is that correct?
You know, I think that anybody who has shortness of breath kind of gets this knee jerk that they must have asthma. I kind of describe it as someone being hit in the knee with a reflex hammer, just shortness of breath. It must be asthma. And in fairness to my providers that see these people, you know, it's sometimes tough to kind of sift through it all. And so they often will be empirically started on an inhaler, which, you know, may or may not help. And, you know, the reality is there's been multiple high-quality studies that have evaluated individuals with breathing tests called spirometry before exercise and then measuring their airway function after exercise, and it doesn't really correlate with a diagnosis of asthma. So the history, unlike most medicine, really doesn't help us much.
Absolutely. So they come to you then. They need answers. So what is your process to diagnose the cause and come up with a clear answer for them?
Anybody with shortness of breath with exercise, you need to obtain objective evidence to determine the cause. So we will initially, when we see somebody, in addition to doing a history, which may or may not provide us with the information we need, we do a clear exam to see if there's anything that we can find that on their physical exam can give us the answer. Then we do a chest x-ray, we do some blood work. But what's really important is to do a breathing test called spirometry. And spirometry is a very simple, inexpensive test that measures the amount of air people breathe in and out and how rapidly they can expire that air. And then what we do is we will give them the breathing test, then we'll treat them as if they had asthma. And then we will measure lung function again. And those who have baseline asthma, they of course get improvement when you treat their asthma. Now, the majority of people who come to see us are fine at rest. It's really only with exercise. And like any problem with exercise, you need to be able to see what happens when you exercise that person, right? So one of the nice things about our clinic is I'm a sports medicine physician. I'm the head team doctor for USA Triathlon and experienced triathlete when competed in the Kona Hawaii Ironman and such. So I get exercise, and my exercise physiologist and I, and we work with an otolaryngologist, an ears and throat doctor. What we do is we take our athletes or people who are having problems breathing, we put them on the treadmill and we see what happens. So we measure the lung function first, and then we exercise them at a sufficient exercise provocation. Now, asthma is provoked by cold, dry air. So when you think asthma, you think like a cross-country skier. It's actually an occupational hazard because they're breathing in high workloads, high pulmonary stress, and cold, dry air. So we follow the American Thoracic Society guidelines where we make our room cold and dry. We give them a certain ventilatory load, and then we measure the lung function afterwards and see, was there a change? Now, most of the people we see actually don't have a change, and they might have been diagnosed with asthma. Those people were actually able to take off their medication they're put on. So an inhaled corticosteroid, which is the mainstay of asthma treatment, it's $200 a month, plus, you know, there's negative effects for being on medication you don't need. We can take a lot of these people off their medication. What we find more commonly is people have an under-recognized problem, something called exercise-induced laryngeal obstruction. So the larynx is the conduit of the mouth to the lungs. It brings the air from the mouth down to the lungs. And what we find in some individuals is that larynx, or that upper airway, actually narrows down when they're breathing in. it's pretty dramatic when this happens. This, when they have an attack of this, it's usually on inspiration, and people are pretty freaked out. They feel like they're drowning. They can't breathe, and it's really rapid on and rapid off. Now, we're one of the few clinics in the world that can actually diagnose this. We realized, and we kind of figured this out sort of back and forth, because Dr. Strominger, who's an otolaryngologist, would scope these people. We put a laryngoscope, a little camera that's on the end of a tube, and put it into their nose and look at their airway. He would then send them out in their parking lot and have them run, and then bring them back in and scope them again. Now, we realized there was a group in Norway that had figured out how to look at the upper airway with exercise. So we basically looked at their design and kind of made a similar version here, where we have a headgear and one of my athletic trainers is a welder and welded something. And then we went a couple years ago actually and visited them. So now we do a technique that's called continuous laryngoscopy with exercise, where we look at people's airway as they're exercising. It's very safe. We've been successful in using this technique in people as young as 9. There was a study out of Sweden that showed that in 6th and 7th graders, they were 99% successful in visualizing it. And again, just like getting an objective evidence for the asthma test, this objective test, we can visualize if the airway is narrowing. So we're one of the few places that can diagnose ILO, or exercise-induced laryngeal obstruction.
And Dr. Getson, you're one of the few clinics that offer the continuous laryngoscopy. That's correct?
We are. Yeah, we are only aware of one other clinic in the United States that's doing this right now. There's about 10 clinics in the world. I think you need to have a lot of things fall into place successfully to be able to do this clinic. You need to have somebody who has the expertise to do the laryngoscope. You need to have the equipment that we were able to fabricate. And you need to have somebody with expertise on exercising the patient. So I'm a sports medicine physician, and we have exercise physiologists. Then we also have an otolaryngologist. So we kind of have this perfect storm. And you know, it's interesting how things kind of go full circle, in that this technique was first discovered with racehorses, because it's the second most common problem with racehorses to have a poor performance, which is dynamic upper airway problems. So there's a group at Cornell University here in Ithaca, New York, and a group in Norway that were doing it. And then this group in Norway of human doctors said, hey, let's do what we're doing with the racehorses. And now currently we're starting to collaborate with our Cornell colleagues who've done some of the work with the racehorses.
Very interesting. So what you usually find is many people don't actually have asthma. They have exercise-induced laryngeal obstruction. So then what is the normal treatment for that?
You know, the great thing about making the diagnosis is the treatment's usually pretty straightforward. Most people with ILO, or exercise-induced laryngeal obstruction, respond very well to treatment with speech therapy. They're taught how to breathe through this. They're taught techniques to modify the pressure in their upper airway. Many of our patients are just overjoyed because they've been seeking care from multiple different providers and not getting an answer. And people start thinking they're crazy. And when you tell them, it's really motivational. We've had people, we see this more commonly in adolescent females, but we see it in people all ages. And we've seen people who are adults who cannot exercise, and they used to fake injury as kids because they would struggle with breathing, that we figure this process out, and they're now able to exercise for their health. So it's really dramatic in some people.
I could see where that really would be beneficial and eye-opening to someone who thought they had asthma, and it turns out they don't. Last question, Dr. Getson. So tell us about the Shortness of Breath Clinic. Why was that developed?
It's a great question. So I'm the head team doctor for USA Triathlon, and I've also been the head team physician for a Division III college, Ithaca College here in Ithaca, New York. And I've seen people, that athletes that would come to be seen on their screening, or I'd see them in the clinic, or I'd see them at an international event, that the rate-limiting step for their exercise is their breathing. Now, in almost everybody, what limits them is our heart's ability to pump out blood. It really shouldn't be limited by breathing. And many of these people have just struggled not getting answers. So it sort of pulled me into trying to solve these people's problems, and just been fortunate to have this collaboration with my colleague, Dr. Strominger, and being in an area with exercise physiologists as part of our team. So we were able to get this multidisciplinary approach to assess these problems. And that, you know, that's the key for many complex problems, right, is getting different people with different expertise together to collaborate to come up with one solution.
so great for the community to have this clinic right in their backyard. Dr. Getson, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. For more information, please visit CayugaHealthSystem.org. That's CayugaHealthSystem.org. This is To Your Health from Cayuga Medical Center. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.